promoting responsible drinking.
And support for WMNF comes from our members and Live Nation, presenting OAR with special guests, American authors, and Hunter Tones, June 19th at Mahaffey Theater in St. Petersburg. Get more information at themahaffey.com. And thanks to all of you who donated during the Winter Pledge Drive. It's not too late to give. You can call 813-238-8001. Or you can donate online at WMNF.org. We cannot thank you enough. Good afternoon. We are live from the studios of WMNF. We are on the air following the Winter Pledge Drive. It's good to be with you. Good afternoon again. I know it's kind of dank and chilly out there. You are listening to WMNF. This is 88.5 FM community radio from West Central Florida. And you have tuned to Executive Session, which is normally a forum for discussion of the executive branch of your United States government on Wednesdays, as we often do, as we always do. We present an edition of Everyday Ethics, hosted by Adam Bax. Good afternoon, Adam.
Good afternoon.
And we will be getting to that in just a moment. But before we return to regular order here in Executive Session, I will take just a minute to thank you and thank you again for your generosity and support of your radio station. Thank you to the dozens of people who volunteered for the hundreds and hundreds of hours of work necessary for this drive. Thank you to the people who prepared and brought food to the station to feed those volunteers. Individuals and businesses bring their best and favorite dishes, and there's always a most amazing spread offered to feed the effort. And finally, thank you to the staff of your radio station, whose generosity with their tireless energy supported us through our days and nights on the air, inviting you to join and support your community-conscious radio station, the last local radio in Tampa, WMNF 88.5 FM and WMNF.org. We are in the red zone. We are in sight of the goal, and if you haven't made your pledge, or if you have and you want to contribute again, you can call 238-8001, or the easy way is to go to WMNF.org and click on the tip jar to join the sprint to the finish. Thank you. Adam?
I'd also like to thank everyone who showed their generosity during our Winter Pledge Drive. This was my first pledge drive here at WMNF, and it was amazing to see everyone in the community come out and help with their contributions. Hello, my name is Adam Bax, and I'm your host here on Wednesdays at just a little after 1. Thank you for tuning in, and also, happy World Radio Day. Welcome to Executive Session, a radio show about our executive branch here in the United States. And through this show, we are testing a certain proposition that our republic will fare better if instead of yelling at each other across the street, we talk to each other above the back fence. The we I'm referring to is, of course, all of you and all of us in the studio. Today, I am joined in the session by your regular host and master of ceremony, Mr. John Gilmore, as well as the man behind the phone, Mr. Bill Grace, who will be taking your calls and maybe asking you for a word or two before you're on the air. You can get in contact with us by calling 813-239-9663, emailing us at dj@wmnf.org, or through text at 813-433-0885. All three ways are your tickets into the session. So let's talk. We start this Wednesday edition in our normal fashion with a conversation with the team of Everyday Ethics. And this week we discuss the hidden ethics of meal prep. That's right, it's time to talk turkey on this week's Everyday Ethics episode on meal delivery kits.
Meal delivery kits, savings or a big waste? This is Everyday Ethics.
Everyday Ethics is a production of WMNF Tampa in conjunction with the Poynter Institute. Poynter, a global leader in journalism. Additional support is provided by NYU Langone Medical Center, one of the nation's premier academic medical centers devoted to patient care, education, and research.
From the studios of WMNF Radio in Tampa, Florida, I'm Greg Kopp. Welcome to Everyday Ethics, where we look at things going around us, talk about them from an ethical point of view, and let you make up your own mind about where you stand ethically. When I say we, I am talking about Art Kaplan. He's a medical ethicist. He's at the Lango Medical Center at NYU in New York City. Hey, Art.
Hey, how are you?
And we have our media ethicist, Kelly McBride. She's at the Poynter Institute across the bay from me right now in St. Petersburg, Florida. Hi, Kelly.
Hey, Craig.
So you can't get away from the advertisements. I haven't ever really done this, but one of the big things is meal delivery kits. Everything's in there. All you have to do is cook it.
After a day like this, most people would just throw in the towel and order delivery. But you have a recipe for redemption. With Blue Apron, any night is a chance to see what cooking can do.
So, Kelly, you've done these kind of meal
delivery
kits?
I've done it. I had two different ones. I did Blue Apron, and then I did one before that. They're okay. There's a lot of ethics around food, right? The food that we eat has an impact on the earth. And if we want to be completely ethical, we want to eat food in a way that we minimize that impact. And having your food measured out for you and chopped up and delivered to your doorstep once a week and ready to make meals is probably not the soundest way to take care of Mother Earth, because there is a lot of waste. On the other hand, in America in particular, something like 30% of the food that we buy in the grocery store ends up in the garbage. Mm. There's an amazing amount of food waste.
Does that include bananas?
Or avocados, right? Because they're ripe for like 30 seconds. Right, yes. It's insane. Yeah, so something like 30% of the food that we buy in the grocery store ends up in the garbage. And theoretically, meal delivery kits will help you minimize that problem. Although, my experience was that didn't even hold true. Because what happened to me was they won't let you just order one meal a week, right? Because they got to have some sort of volume in order to make money. So most of them have a 3-meal-a-week minimum. You get your 3 meals a week and you get a busy week and you don't make all 3 of your meals. And if you're on top of things, you can get online and say, hey, don't send that next delivery because I haven't got this one cooked all the way through yet. But who's on top of things, right? So then you go 5, 6, 7 days and you've still got 2 meals in your refrigerator, and suddenly there's a new box on your doorstep with 3 more meals to cook. So now you've got 5 meals to make in the next week, and that's not going to happen. And that stuff goes bad pretty quickly because it's fresh, which is the whole point, so that you eat healthy, you're eating fresh food, but it doesn't solve the food waste problem unless you are incredibly organized. But if you were incredibly organized, you probably wouldn't be doing a meal delivery kit because you'd be organized enough to get your grocery list together and just go to the store and buy your stuff.
Yeah, I've always kind of thought that. It's a little bit pretend to me because you don't go to the grocery, so you don't actually do it all. You just
look at you judging people. Wow.
Well, there's something fake about it. I'm sorry. There's something fakey about it.
Now you sound like my dad.
I am your dad.
Cranky and judgy.
Yeah, but really? So you are so fantastically busy, and I know you are, Kelly, actually. You are actually an incredibly busy person, as we all are.
Oh, come on, get over it, right?
No,
like the whole point is to eat.
That's as judgy as anything.
The whole point is to eat food that you prepared, not because you want to make yourself out to be some fabulous chef, like an on top of the world,
right,
but because it's healthier, right? It's much healthier if you can control the ingredients and you know what's going into it. When you go to a restaurant, you have no idea how much salt they've put in it. There's portion control problems. It is much healthier to eat the food you make in your own kitchen.
Just a question, since I've never done this, I never will do this, because unless they sent
Art
me a
has
chef,
a maid. He has a chef
sent
that cooks
me a chef,
for him.
I couldn't make anything. I'm still trying to figure out scrambled eggs. So, but does it come with a lot of packaging? I mean, is there waste that way?
Yes, yeah. A ton of packaging. If you need a spice, they give you like a teaspoon of your chili powder in a little plastic bag. If you have an egg, it has its own little egg carton container around it.
Yeah, so it sounds like there's some environmental burden, so to speak, in individual delivery of each meal.
And those frozen chemical packs in them.
To keep them cool.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's going to be a ethical winner in terms of environmental waste. It might be good for individual nutrition. I see that. You sort of get all fresh things and healthier things than you might get if you ate out or left it up to chance as to what you were going to buy at the last minute. But I don't know. It sounds like there's a ton of packaging there.
Definitely a ton of packaging. Right. And the big box that it comes in, which, I mean, if you recycle it, then you're sort of negating that. But you got to make sure you're recycling it in a way that it's definitely getting recycled. We could do a whole episode on recycling food waste because the packaging that food comes in, like if you don't clean the peanut butter out of your peanut butter jar, that jar is not going to get recycled.
And all kinds of other things. It sounds to me also, truth be told, I had a recipe I was going to cook last night, thawed out the chicken thighs, got out of work late, didn't want to eat at 8:30 at night, ended up going out to eat. I didn't eat everything and I brought some home in a styrofoam container. And everything from any delivery service you get or even drive-thrus and all that kind of stuff, convenience is wiped out, it seems to me, by those problems. If you have all your food delivered, you know, because you can Grubhub and all that kind of stuff now, there's fuel burned, there's all kinds of things that are added into that
equation. Aren't they trying to get rid of styrofoam containers just generally? Doesn't that industry have to do that?
That's probably a New York thing. New York.
Yeah.
The rest of the country's not going to get rid of styrofoam.
Because I know even some of the plastic, you know, styrofoam cup places like chains like Dunkin' Donuts have said they're going to stop using at least non-degradable things for their cups. And we had a big thing, we may have even talked about it, I forgot, about plastic straws that there were.
Plastic straws are verboten in St. Pete.
Yeah. You go to a restaurant, if they do straws at all.
In St. Pete, it's like a symbol of cluelessness if you ask for a straw.
Mm-hmm.
My point is, if you really want to get less burden on the environment, you got to, I think, not order your food with a bespoke meal. But if it's the environment we care about, we got to get after the industries and the businesses and, you know, sort of get them to go greener. It's not going to work to ship the same rotten, crummy things to our house individually that pollute than if we all went to the store and bought it or went to a restaurant and bought it and so on. I get nutrition. I'm not knocking that side of it. But environmental burden, I think you got to intervene. My point is higher up. It's not going to help.
It's not an individual burden, you're saying? It's a systemic thing?
It's
got
to be an industry thing, or I hate to say it, but some regulation maybe, saying, you know, we're going to shift our containers or use things that are biodegradable and that sort of stuff. I mean, given the fact that the entire ocean seems to be composed of plastic, it's a little late in the game to say, well, individually, don't use plastic straws, right? We're kind of late to the game there. We got to do big interventions like climate change, in fact.
That's a tough one, though, because then you also are looking globally. I mean, I noticed this. I was over in Asia a couple months ago, and especially in Thailand. And they even joke about it. I went to a museum in Thailand that talked about what it means to be Thai. And one of the things that's just very popular, particularly in Bangkok, is to-go food. Everything is to-go. Mm-hmm. People don't use their kitchens. I mean, the whole street food culture is really cool, but the amount of packaging that things come in, they do this thing where everybody goes to like a coffee place, gets their coffee, and then they put a little plastic bag around the coffee so that you can carry it with handles.
That's New York City. That's
You do that in New York too?
Coffee model. Yeah. Little bag. Sometimes paper, but yeah.
Food waste itself is a problem, right? The planet is getting more crowded and costs a lot environmentally to just grow the food, so you shouldn't throw it away. You should eat it. We are in the land of plenty. We do have an obligation to try and get on top of food waste, but then we also have an obligation to get on top of food packaging waste. And it seems like it's a seesaw, right? When you do one, you screw up the other one. And when you do the other, you screw up the first one.
Somebody said, you know, the key on the nutrition side isn't so much getting kumquats delivered, you know, once every 6 day to your house. It's portion control and learning to sort of downsize the amount we eat. Anybody who goes to other countries knows that what we see at some of these roadside buffet places or the nine burger special at Hardee's or someplace, or what you get in the steakhouse would feed the average European family for a week, right? I mean, huge portions. No wonder there's food waste or there's obesity. Either way, the trick is, what are we going to do to convince people they can have what they want? They just have to eat less of it. That seems to me to be crucial as much as sending them fresh cauliflower.
Things like Blue Apron and all that kind of stuff do, the portion sizes are appropriate. It's the stuff it comes in that seems to be the problem.
Even if you ate three nice meals of whoever's delivering, sneering at this, rutabagas to your doorstep, the rest of your 20-something meals and snacks are still going to be not necessarily so good if you don't change your lifestyle. It's Donald Trump's two Big Mac and two fish sandwich dinner with a Diet Coke.
Hold the fries.
I'm sorry. You had me at two Big Macs.
There's one more issue here about the ethics of food and how it gets from wherever it was grown to your mouth. The more local it is, and most of the food that we eat, especially fruit, is not local right at all. I had an old boyfriend who was super conscientious about this stuff. We live in Florida, the land of oranges, but I like clementines better than oranges. Mm-hmm. They don't come from Florida. And I remember I was peeling one and he was like, you know, that's soaked in oil. And it took me a while. I was like, no, it's not. It's fine. It's clean. I'll wash it off. And he's like, nope. They put it on a boat and shipped it over here. Bad on you for eating that thing.
You can guilt people all day long. On the other hand, part of the reality is, you know, I'm up in the Northeast, New York, Connecticut. In the winter, the only thing that you could get local is probably a root from some tree or something. I don't know. There's nothing here. You can
have
some
a potato.
Stuff, but there's not much. So you're going to get big shipping to big populations. I don't know that you're really going to solve that by farm-to-table stuff. I'm not against farm-to-table. Sounds good. Buy local. That's all good.
A lot of that farm-to-table stuff is a hoax anyway, right? Check out the Tampa Bay Times. Mm-hmm. Great investigation on that stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, his point was well made, right? Like, I had citrus choices.
Just to get my slam in here, talking about scams, so is the organic idea.
Oh, really?
There's no definition of organic.
Yes, there is. It's all certified.
No.
You're wrong.
No, it's not.
Hang on.
There are places that say we sell certified organic, but there's oodles of places selling things as just organic.
But you can check and see if it's actually certified, if it came from a farm that's been certified organic.
You could, but you'd be a neurotic consumer like Kelly. Most people are just going to see organic and buy it.
You could go to a specialty grocery store that prides itself on doing that work for you so that you don't have to.
Yes. We will do that in Dothan, Alabama.
I do that now.
But they're not around so much. I'm telling you, food is gimmickry all the way. You look at bottles of water and plastic. They're made of plastic, impossible to recycle. And it says, drawn from pure springs in Maine or from the rainwater runoff of Fiji. You're shipping bottled water from Fiji?
You're absolutely right. So the whole point is that every choice you make, every bite you take is fraught with morality.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yes.
Don't enjoy your food at all, people.
Well, it is something that we've, in what you once earlier said, we are the land of plenty and always have been. And I'm, you know, a farm kid. Talk about locally sourced. Everything came from my grandfather's farm on a Sunday dinner. We've never thought about what the cost is in terms of fuel, pollution, packaging. We started to think about packaging a long time ago, actually.
And let me help people out here, because the thing is once you start thinking about all of this, you will ruin your appetite, right? You won't be able to enjoy food at all. And so I think that you can look at your receipt, you can look at your bill, you can look in your refrigerator and ask every once in a while, where does all this stuff come from? And try and make some different choices. Like you can try and not use plastic bottles. I think that personally not a very hard thing to do. Mm-hmm. Art, you have said this over and over again, that when you have a moral choice to make, if you can make that choice and it doesn't cost you too much pain, you have an obligation to make that choice. you can't do it with every bite you take, but you can do it once a week or once a month and look at the trends on how your food is getting to you and try and make some changes there.
That makes the general point we try to tell or suggest to listeners, at least I do, which is when it comes to ethics, incremental is okay.
Yeah.
Don't have to solve it all at once.
We can also make choices to support companies that we know will have a bigger impact if they're making better choices.
I agree with that, but I'm going to still demand that they deliver my pizza in a big cardboard box.
Which cannot be recycled
because
the pizza grease is all over it. Go to the store and eat your pizza there.
For Art Kaplan and Kelly McBride, I'm Craig Kopp, and this is Everyday Ethics, knowing the difference between what you have a right to do and what's right to do. Everyday Ethics is engineered, produced, and edited by Dustin Hapley. Our researcher is
Christina Sokarenko.
All right, there you have it, an Everyday Ethics episode on the ethics of meal delivery kits. So, what do you think? What is right and what is wrong with having these deconstructed meals brought right to your doorstep? Do you subscribe to one of these services, or have you ever thought about signing up for one? Do any of your friends, family, neighbors have experience with these kits? And if so, how'd they like them? Well, if you love them or if you hate them, we want to hear from you. Call us up at 813-239-9663, and that will get you in contact with Mr. Bill Grates, who will chat with you for a little bit, and then through the magic of audio, send you soaring into the session with me and Mr. John Gilmore. That's 813-239-9663. And we'll be back to chat with you after these very important announcements.
Yeah, support for WMNF comes from our members and Happy Feet Plus. Since 1985, Happy Feet Plus has been providing healthy footwear solutions, including brands such as Birkenstock, Finn Comfort, and Kenco massage sandals. Styles and selections at happyfeet.com.
On Saturday, March 2nd, WMNF presents How Music Saved My Life, an improv comedy performed right here in our own live music studio. Come hear some of your favorite DJs share their stories of how music impacted their lives, and then watch as actors from the Living Mirror Playback Theater perform those stories, improvising on the spot with words, music, and movement. It's a unique experience that can be funny, moving, and exhilarating. The show starts at 7 p.m. March 2nd. Seating is limited, so reserve your seat by calling 813-238-8001. Suggested donation is $10 at the door.
WMNF is a listener-supported community radio station that celebrates cultural diversity and is committed to equality, peace, and economic justice. WMNF provides broadcasts and other forums with a grassroots local emphasis that promotes creative, musical, and political vitality. WMNF advocates for peace, social justice, and environmental justice through independent media and programming neglected by the mainstream. We embrace diversity, tolerance for others' opinions, and freedom of expression. WMNF celebrates and promotes the cultural, creative, and political vitality of the local community.
All right. You are listening to Executive Session, the Wednesday edition, where we look at the ethics of an everyday situation. And today's topic is meal delivery services, such as Blue Apron and all those that follow. We have some calls coming in now, so we're going to go and talk to Dave in Clearwater. Dave, hello. Happy Wednesday.
Oh, I'm first.
You are.
Okay, a couple of things. First of all, my sister from time to time will send me some of those steaks, and that's always a free ice chest because I never throw it away, but
okay.
You can't recycle the styrofoam anyway.
That's right.
Good. Very good steaks, and the ice chest lasts a good time. I just want to mention a couple of things. First one was you indicated that you used to go to your granddaddy's for lunch, Sunday dinner, and everything was grown on the farm.
I think that was, brought up.
Did you have sweet tea?
That
sweet tea.
Sweet tea.
And that grew tea leaves, okay? We've always been importing and exporting stuff. But this recycle thing is of interest to me.
Yes.
And I always think about things being biodegradable. And I heard a program with an urban an urban geologist, I think, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
He had done drills. He had drilled down into the first dump out on Long Island.
Okay.
And what was on the end of the drill at the bottom was clearly readable, a 1949 newspaper. And this was in the '80s that he did this. So we think it's going to be get biodegraded. It's not going to get biodegraded and recycled. Maybe it'll get recycled. Maybe it won't. But if you waste the water to wash it out and get everything out of it and turn it in, haven't you endangered the environment more than you would have if you just dropped it in the trash, you know, burn it in the incinerator?
I think when it comes to recycling, there might be some there might be a lot of misconceptions. You know, you think you might be doing something that is good and powerful for the environment, but then that singular action has a domino effect that ripples throughout a whole bunch of different ecosystems.
Right. Good or bad.
Right.
And I don't think anybody's quantified whether it's good or bad, but as people doing things that they used to do before the Second World War and during the Second World War, so I assume that it's good for people to concentrate on something besides getting to the next TV show.
I always thought a valuable... Sorry, what was that?
I've never had food meals delivered to me. I did get on a diet program one time where they send you four big boxes of many meals, and then you have to sort them out and store them up and eat them down. I forget the name of it. It's got a singer that's on there now that does the ads for it. But it worked. It worked because we were getting balanced meals. The problem was they put desserts in there, and sometimes you get a jag and eat too many desserts. But they'd ship it all to you at one time.
You get to the end of the week, and all the desserts are gone, and the meals are still there.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
We try to do the best we can because there's something actually in the Bible about us being husbands or caretakers of the earth. And it's in every religion. And it's even one of my favorite friends who is committed atheist recycles. Because if we don't do it, who's going to do it?
Mm-hmm.
And I think ethically you have an obligation. If you have something that can be recycled, to see that it gets recycled.
All right.
There you go.
I think that's
like
fair enough.
Comments. Like my comments.
There you go.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Dave. All right. Once again, you can call us up at 813-239-9663. We're talking about meal delivery kits, but I think we're going to be talking mostly about recycling, it seems to be, because I think... the biggest ethical dilemma with these meal delivery kits is, yes, you get you get all the ingredients, but at what cost for the environment? Mm-hmm. Because it's not just you going to a grocery store and picking it out. It's the packaging, the delivery, then the energy it takes to make the food, and you know, such and forward.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about what you just mentioned, the delivery.
Yeah.
Okay. That has to have a substantial, it seems to me, environmental impact.
I think that's where the big toll of the fossil fuels.
Maybe the next promotion for one of the meal delivery services will be that they deliver in all electric vehicles.
Yeah, that would be good. All right, we're gonna go and talk to John in St. Pete. John, it says here that you have a garden and you get all your food fresh from that.
Ooh.
Well, I get about 60% of my food every year for 3/4 of the year out of my garden, and fortunately, I have a backyard, and so I would always advise people to do that. I'm able to compost most of my waste, and I also, when I'm growing, say, like I got cabbage right now, and I've got six, so I'm gonna give 4 of them away to friends.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there's nothing more delicious than something you just picked out of your garden. So it's a win-win all the way around.
Let me ask you a question, John. How large is your backyard?
Standard yard.
So you have kind of a suburban lot sized backyard.
Yeah.
And
I've got above ground beds that I put in.
Yeah.
And I rotate, you know, when I put my seeds in, so I always have something coming in. And usually 8 or 10 things. Like right now I have beets, cabbage, lettuce, most of your salad stuff, you know, it's just amazing. And it takes some work, but, you know, it's the payoff is so much, and my food bill's a lot less.
Yeah.
So that's why I say, you know, that's what everybody should do. I always encourage my friends, you know, I mean, it'll take some work on Saturday, but what you get is so much better than what, you know, you get from a store, I think.
Now, yeah. I've always had the misconception of myself having, you know, you seem to have a green thumb. I very much think I have one that would, might be a little bit more black and blue. Now, for those who have difficulties gardening, is there some easy steps you say you should start out with?
Well, I use a lot of compost. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, your eggs and eggshells and, you know, coffee grounds, stuff like that. And I have a composting thing and yard waste that you put in. And I start off with that, and I supplement it with cow manure, actually. Mm. And it's like it's very cheap. You can get it at Home Depot for $5 a bag. I mix it all in there, and I start all my seeds. So like I say, the only thing bad about Florida, the good thing is we have like two really good growing seasons, and then we have the summer. And the summer is almost impossible to get anything other than melons growing. Mm. But you can supplement. And my mom and dad, during World War II, they had Victory Gardens, and that's where I pretty much picked that up from.
Mm, right.
And so I think people should really, if you're concerned about the environment, that's one way you can make an impact in a big way. I mean, you don't have packaging, you know, yeah. Better food, and it's just good for everything. You feel better about it, too. It's always fun to see things growing like that. So That's my one thing to say to y'all. I hope people will do big steps that way, you know, because it's better for the environment.
All right, John. Terrific.
So a brief recap. You have a normal suburban-sized backyard, and in that normal suburban-sized backyard, you manage to raise 60% of what you eat.
Correct.
Yeah, we want to leave people with that right there.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Also, I always say, too, I do some canning, and if you do some canning, you can really, really stretch that out. So.
Yeah.
Okay?
All right, John. Guys. No problem. Bye. Thank you. All right, John, a very sustainable human being. Thanks so much for calling. We're going to go and talk to someone who says that you subscribe to Blue Apron, and that's going to be Byron in Sarasota. Hello, Byron. Thank you for calling into the session.
Hi. My wife and I, we subscribe to Blue Apron and have done so probably for 3 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in an income bracket where we can eat basically any place we want. And I'll tell you right now, the food tastes better from Blue Apron than it does in most restaurants.
Wow.
And the other thing about transportation costs, either I'm going to drive myself to a restaurant or I'm going to drive myself to the grocery store. So I consider that problem pretty moot. You know what I mean?
That's fair.
We recycle, but Florida's not really good at recycling.
What do you mean by that?
Well, we used to live in Michigan, and they put taxes on beer bottles, soda bottles, everything like that. And it was 10 cents a bottle. And I think Florida should do it. And one way, it would be a source of income for homeless people, because you'd never find a bottle laying on the side of the road in Michigan. Nor would you ever find a broken bottle anyplace, because everyone knew that they were valuable to at least a dime, you know what I mean? So they always took them back. So that's just my comment. I really like Blue Apron. But essentially, we're...
What kind of meals you get through Blue... I'm not very familiar with the actual... I know how it works, but I'm not familiar with what you actually get with it. So can you just run me real quick a basic meal that you would get from them?
Well... We basically get the non-meat type of meals.
Okay.
Because we don't eat very much meat.
Right.
But it'll have different flavors like Asian or Mediterranean or, you know, something like that. Something that you could buy in a restaurant, but with vegetables and produce that's much fresher and has much more taste to it. Because they're a little more selective in the process of choosing their product, but you can order essentially from them I don't do anything. All I do is clean up afterwards. So that's above my pay grade as far as cooking. And so, but it's, you can order different tastes to satisfy whatever type of taste that you want. If you don't like it, then you can just try something different. I highly recommend it myself because, what are they, $60 for 3 days for two people?
I don't know.
$10 each. And there's always something left over where I can munch on it the next day for lunch. So
how much of a chef do you have to be accomplished through this? How well do you have to be at cooking?
I'm not going to say anything on the radio about degrading my wife's cooking.
Smart man.
No, all she really wanted was a sharp knife. And we paid $100 for some German, Wusthof or something like that.
Okay.
And actually, it doesn't. All I have to do is follow the instructions, chop it up, cook it. Everything is all prepared for you to do it in a proper sequence, and it's pretty simple. Even I could do it if she let me, but
she knows better than to hand the knife to you, right?
All right, Byron. Thanks so much. We appreciate your viewpoints.
Okay.
Thanks, Byron.
Have a good one. Okay, you can call us up and talk about your food preparations at 813-239-9663, or you can do like Nancy's going to do and talk about some gardening suggestions. Nancy in St. Pete, how are you doing? Happy Wednesday.
Oh, my. I'm my vegetables are growing like crazy, so I'm doing great, too.
Really? What do you have? What are you growing?
I've got collard greens. I've got kale.
Oof.
Different, all kinds of kale, tomatoes. I've got squash, banana trees. I've got... there's a bunch of other stuff, but I have an agenda, so I'm going to put it forth,
okay.
If you don't mind.
Yeah.
The reason I called is I want local listeners or faraway listeners just to be aware of what's available, what I availed myself of that's helped me go from knowing nothing about gardening to now having a full garden that's sustaining me really well.
Okay.
Yeah, so, I'm not for boxes of things ordered from other places, just in general. I guess I'm an organic, buy local kind of girl. So the last caller was really happy with that, and I'm glad for him, but I want to encourage people to empower themselves by growing their own food locally. So there's an organization called SUAC.
Okay.
You heard of it?
That does ring a little bit of a bell.
Good. Well, it's Sustainable Urban Agriculture Coalition.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. And so you can look it up. They're on the web, and they have classes. And I went to one of their classes about growing organic in a garden. And in 6 weeks, we planted a garden and actually harvested a bunch of beautiful vegetables. It was extremely informative, and it's what got me started. They have very fine people, Bill and Emmanuel, who will come to your home and help you figure out where to put your garden and what you want to plant. And it was, I think I paid $75 for a 6-week course. It was paid me back way more than what I put in. So I recommend that. And they also have an Eco Village garden where you can kind of practice. It's a They have volunteers come in on Wednesdays and Sundays here in St. Petersburg. It's called Eco Village. They have a huge garden that you just learn how to garden by doing it. And on Wednesday and Sunday, I went there for a while to help them. And that's another thing people can do if they want to take part in the garden and learn about how to garden.
Can you say the organization name one more time in case people had to grab a pen and paper?
Yes. It's called SUAC. It's the Sustainable Urban Agriculture Coalition.
Right.
And it's either .com or .org. I'm not sure. But Bill and Emmanuel are the ones who've been into this for many, many, many years here in St. Petersburg. They also have a meeting monthly, which you'll see online, and it's at the Enoch Center on the south side of town. I think it's Monday at 6 o'clock. But they'll find that online. But in other words, you can get more information by going to their monthly meeting about gardening,
okay,
growing vegetables.
So there we have it. Another 0.4 gardening.
Thank you, Nancy.
Thank you, Nancy.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure enough.
Okay.
So we are at 813-239-9663. We will be coming back and taking more of your calls. We have some phone lines open if you want to call and tell us your viewpoints on meal delivery kits and gardening and pollution and everything. And we'll be right back after some of these more messages.
Support for WMNF comes from our members and Goodwill. The annual book drive for Goodwill's childhood literacy program, Bookworks, is now underway. Donation of children's books labeled for Bookworks will be accepted at any Goodwill store or donation site now through March 15th. Goodwill will make sure they are given to children who may not otherwise have books of their own. More at goodwill-suncoast.org.
Hi, I'm Flea, and I'll be hosting the first Pinellas County edition of the WMNF Road Trip on Wednesday, February 20th from 6 to 10 p.m. at the Queen's Head in St. Petersburg. I'm looking forward to spinning some great tunes and meeting you as WMNF continues its road trip around the Tampa Bay area. We're going to get our motor running and head out on the highway to the Queen's Head in St. Pete on February 20th. Go to WMNF.org for more information.
All right. We are talking here on executive session about meal delivery kits, gardening and grocery stores, all things food, all things delicious. We're going to go and talk to Seth in St. Pete, who uses several food delivery services. And how do you feel about that?
Yeah. Hey, John. Hey, Adam.
Hey, what's going on?
So my wife, there's the method to our madness, but my wife and I are both in the medical field. We have a family of four half the week and a family of six the other half the week.
Okay.
And we noticed a lot of food waste. And so over the last 3 or 4 years, we've used two different food delivery services in tandem, Blue Apron and Plated. And we found that we definitely waste less food. We still order from some big box stores for some staples, but we kind of have a little system set up where we integrate the food delivery in with going to the grocery store once every few weeks. Mm-hmm. And we've been really happy with it. It gives the kids some, they get to let us, they get to see us cook. There's different tastes, different, ethnic foods. The food is fresh. We're not going out to eat all the time, and it's worked out really well.
So you said you had, some kids on one part of the week and some kids on the other.
Right. We have a split family. So we have a family of four half the week and a family of six half the week. We use, one meal delivery service that is more like meals for two or three,
mm-hmm.
For the first part of the week. And then we have our older boys at the second half of the week. We use meal services that cater to a little bit larger family.
Yeah, makes sense.
We've been really happy with it. With respect to the waste that's involved,
mm-hmm.
Our family puts out about three quarters of what we bring in goes out in recycling, about a quarter goes out in waste. We break down those cardboard boxes and get those in the recycling. All the little bags, the ingredients, come in, we wash those out, and those go into the grocery store recycling bags. Anything that's cardboard or whatever we can do. And when I did compost, I aspire to be a gardener. But at this point in our life, it's a little difficult. And we've found that we're kind of making a compromise where we're able to get our kids exposed to some different flavors, watch us cook and not just eat out or use processed foods. And the meals are really delicious. So.
Right. All right. Seth, I want to thank you for calling, and I want to thank you for sharing your viewpoint.
Thanks, Seth. I want to take a minute here to thank Patrick out of Televast Florida for going to WMNF.org and making a pledge to the Waking Hours. Thank you very much. And reminding you that we are within sight of the goal of the winter pledge drive here on WMNF, and encourage you, if you haven't made your pledge, or if you'd like to up your pledge or make another pledge, to call 813-238-8001 or go to WMNF.org, click on the tip jar, and just let us know how much you want to send, and thank you very much.
That's right. It's World Radio Day, and what better way to celebrate World Radio Day than supporting the last local radio station here in Tampa Bay. Now, this is a very exciting. We love when this happens. We're going to take a call now from a first-time caller. We love to hear new voices. Jennifer from Siesta Key, thank you so much for calling.
Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Welcome aboard, Jennifer.
Well, you guys are cracking me up. I've been listening to you executive session for 2 years. I donated in the past. I love it.
Thank you.
I love your political coverage, and go figure, it's a meal delivery kit that came out for the first time.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. We are eclectic, if nothing else.
I know. It's hilarious. But no, I was calling because, you know, I do HelloFresh. I've done Blue Apron, too, in the past. Mm-hmm. And I absolutely love them. But more so because I just love the techniques it teaches me. It really teaches me to be a good cook. And it's not so much the convenience or the freshness, because I can make all the same meals and just drive to Publix.
Okay, yeah.
And, you know, buy the same fresh vegetables right there or at my farmer's market or anywhere I want. It's just the way I learned to cook. It really teaches you some really interesting meals. And many times I take the recipes and I'll make them again.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'll make them for guests or friends and go out and buy my own ingredients for the recipe, so I save them all. But that's the main reason I buy them.
So I never even thought about that. There's probably a lot of different skills you learn through this, because I imagine if you are cooking for yourself, you're probably cooking food that you're used to know how to make. But with Blue Apron and stuff like that, they're showing you new methods for different types of foods?
Yeah,
or?
Absolutely. Like a typical meal might involve like a pork tenderloin, and then you learn to make a pan sauce by mixing a jam and a balsamic and a chicken concentrate. And you're all these things you just wouldn't really know, something you feel like chefs know how to do, but you don't know how to do it, so it teaches you stuff like that. A couple weeks ago, I paid a premium to do this scallop dish where I made risotto. You just don't know if you're going to go to a restaurant and get a risotto like this, because a good risotto takes 35 to 40 minutes to cook, of constant stirring, and you have to keep adding all this your chicken stock.
Right.
So, you know, a lot of things. I made one of my favorite meals, used a grilling called Harvani or something. It's a grilling cheese. And you
grill
the cheese on the oven, slice it up, and you serve it over this big bed of vegetables with a cilantro chimichurri. I mean, it's really creative meals.
Wow.
And they're absolutely delicious.
Now, I have one question about the service, and I'm sorry that I'm posing it as if you're a spokesperson for it, but...
Oh, yeah, no.
Do they, is it just an entree, or is it they have like an appetizer, entree, dessert, or how does it... are you getting with it?
It's just an entree.
Okay.
For two people, the portions, are usually very good. But yeah, it's just usually an entree, one entree.
There you go.
$20. Yeah. Okay. In regards to the waste, I took a break because at first, when I first started a few years ago, I couldn't stand the waste. And the companies are getting better and better with recognizing that's a concern for a lot of people.
Uh-huh.
And when I started doing the program again a few months ago, they kept changing the insulation they put inside.
Uh-huh.
And a couple weeks ago, they sent me this insulation, and instead of it being styrofoam, or that it looked like styrofoam, but they said it was biodegradable.
Yeah.
So I took a piece of this. I've never seen this before. I took a piece and I actually put it in my mouth just to see what would happen, and it just completely dissolved in 5-10 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, it said it was, you know.
Yeah, I don't know what they make that stuff out of, but they do make some really interesting biodegradable packing stuff. I know you can get you can get stuff packed in packing peanuts that just disappear if you pour water on.
Yeah, that's what it was. I guess packing peanuts. Yeah, that's what it was, and that's why I tried it. But it was, their waste is getting very improved.
Well, that's good.
They send things in cans. They send things, like, say, you need black beans. It will be in, like, a paper, hard paper container that's just lined with a little bit of foil. So, you know, I don't understand why regular grocery stores can't do that. It seems like a lot less waste.
Huh.
But, yeah, so things like that. So I like it a lot.
Okay. That's a very good viewpoint. Thank you so much for calling. We really hope you call again, Jennifer. We would love to hear from you again.
Yes, and Don, please keep up the great coverage of Trump.
You can count on it. We are going to be returning to. I anticipate that Craig and I will be in tomorrow, and that we will be returning to our more specific coverage of the. Executive branch of your United States government.
All right.
Great, I love it.
Good to hear from you, Jennifer.
Okay, thank you.
813-239-9663. As we head first, diving into the pool of the lightning round, we are talking about food delivery services, pollution, and gardening. We're going to go and talk to Chuck in Tampa. Chuck, happy Wednesday. Good afternoon.
Good, how are you doing?
Good. How are you, Chuck?
Good. I planted, I'm a vegan. I planted my Russian basil. You ever heard of Russian basil?
I have not heard of Russian basil.
And I planted it next to my American basil. Took over the whole damn garden. I can't figure this out.
Sounds like a garden collusion situation.
Very colluded. This is crazy. Trump's ruining this country.
All right.
Every now and again, someone calls in and does their bit, and it's just
little surprises around every corner, but nothing dangerous. Well, you know what?
my American basil took over my Russian basil.
I feel like. If there is no better way to round out the session, it is through something like that. I didn't ask you, Mr. Gilmore. Do you subscribe to any of these movies?
I have not ever done that. We have very, very skilled chefs in our family, yeah. And some of them are actually professional. So, and we raised them. We grew them up, and they went out and became expert chefs, and it was wonderful. We have very good cooks in the crew. And so we go out and we buy food and fix it, you know.
Yeah.
And the closest that we've come is that there are several places that make some prepackaged type
right.
of meals
yeah, yeah.
that you can just put in the oven and cook, and they're very, very good. But we haven't done any of the food services as such yet, and have somebody bring us a box with, you know, meals in it.
You garden?
I did. I gardened for a little while. I found out it's a lot of fun. I'm not anywhere near as well. Let's put it this way: if I was depending on my gardening,
yes,
I would be much thinner than I am, and probably much weaker. I will tell you that the gentleman who called who described having a normal suburban sized backyard
right.
and growing 60%. Mm-hmm. I could see where that would happen. I could see where you could do that, because it has occurred to me on several occasions that if I planted everything, planted my whole yard
right.
and, you know, knew how to do that, mm-hmm. I could feed the whole neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And I think anybody could. You know, it's a lot of land if you get right down to it.
Yeah. Especially if you know how to harvest and how to keep the
yes.
Yeah. Well, that's going to wrap us up here this afternoon on what always seems to be the fastest hour in radio. Of course, I want to thank all of our callers, listeners, and all those who helped this show stay up and running, especially everyone who donated during the pledge drive. And you can still donate going to our tip jar on WMNF.org. I want to thank Mr. John Gilmore and, of course, the unsung hero of the show, Mr. Bill Grace, who's been behind the phones this entire hour.
Thank you, Bill.
As always, we invite you to stay tuned for another great edition of the All Souls edition of It's the Music, and remind you that you can hear this show, Executive Session, every Monday through Thursday right here. Here on 88.5 FM at just a little after 1. But as for this Wednesday edition of Executive Session on WNF, I've been Adam Bax. And I'm going to wish you another happy World Radio Day. And I want to say thank you for listening. And with any luck, we'll talk again.
Yes, stay around. Patty Metz is going to be here for the All Souls edition of It's the Music. She's going to take you through this dank and dark and chilly afternoon and get you ready to come home, accompanying you through the traffic jam later this afternoon. We will be back tomorrow afternoon, just after the 1 o'clock NPR news, and we will be returning to our normal conversation about the executive branch. Invite you to come by, express yourself, and to also don't forget you can still make your donation to WMNF.org, and we are getting closer and closer to the goal line.
It has to start somewhere. It has to start sometime. What better place than here? What better time than now?
This is WMNF Tampa.